When times are good, I think we get lulled into this expectation that times will always be good. That we live in a place that we receive benefits and society operates as we think it should, and we feel good about that. And we struggle, as Jan said, when there's a disruption to our sense of right arrangement. We struggle when things don't go the way we think they should, and we want to force them back into their right place. We want to manually fix it for the whole country, for the whole world, for our neighborhood, for whatever it is that is out of arrangement. And I think one of the things that we really struggle is to recognize that the truth of Christianity is that it's this story of God's interaction with people, a people that sometimes followed and sometimes didn't, but a people that were more often than not oppressed by foreign powers. Sometimes those oppressions were within their own country, as by the Romans at the time of Jesus. And sometimes those oppressions came when they were taken into captivity and living in exile, such as when they lived in Babylon, or when they were in Egypt. But particularly when we think about living in exile in Babylon, it is to those people living in exile that the Advent scriptures are addressed, to a people who lived in fear. The threat of terrorism was a reality for the exiles in the days of the Hebrew prophets and of their time in foreign rule. They lived under, for those that lived in Babylon, and then even later when they lived under Rome's heavy rule in the homeland of where Jesus was from. And later yet, for the scattered early Christians to whom Paul was writing. But through all of those times, there was really this, this people didn't have it easy. They didn't live in a society that was based on what we sometimes call Christian foundations. Now, we as a country, that's not the truth of our beginnings, yet it's what we often, it's a part of the lie we tell ourselves about our founding of our country. And it's a part of the delusion that we live with that gets us in trouble. But it is to these people that lived in fear that the promise of Advent came. And it promised the coming of God's great reversal, that swords would be changed into plowshares, that the lowly would be lifted up and the powerful brought low, and that the hope of God is with us, Emmanuel. Most of us haven't lived under exile and foreign occupation. I think the closest I ever came to it was when I went to Israel, Palestine, at Christmas time and was scrutinized in a way that I had never been scrutinized trying to get into the country. Grilled about how I found out about this country, and I kind of stammered out, in the Bible. But when I got there, I saw oppression of the Palestinians in a way that I had never known that kind of oppression. I could leave, but they could not. There were roads that were blocked for no good reason. There was a lack of water and electricity, while others a short distance away had plenty. There was a refugee camp that I visited that had people living in exile for over 60 years against UN mandates. There were checkpoints that hassled people. There were guns, lots of guns. I never saw so many Uzis in my life. And the scrutiny of my person and my luggage flying out of the country was again extreme. And why did I have all of these things that I was taking home as gifts in my bags? And that's only a smattering of the kinds of things that people live with every day. And the kinds of things that people in Scripture lived with every day. And it's to these people that the message of Advent is given. It's to people that live in a broken society. And I think it's important for us to think about that today as we realize that there have been some shifts in our society. Our government is going in different directions from what it was, and we're aware of the tension. Whatever our political leanings, we're aware of this tension. We read about hate that is expressed to other people in the news in a way that it hasn't been in recent years. We recognize that there is an escalation of this hatred in our society that is not what we want. And yes, we have power over violence. Yes, we must speak. We must pray peace into those situations. But I also want us to recognize that this is exactly why Jesus came. I'm going to read two passages of Scripture, both from Isaiah. The first one from Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 7. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The Spirit of the Sovereign, this is from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has appointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion. To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. In the past weeks, we have talked about the kingdom of God in this countercultural realm in which we live, where there is gospel order. Gospel order is a Quaker way of looking at the kingdom of God, this realm in which we live today. And that's coming not to just make society's government the way we think it ought to be, but to come to bring peace in our hearts, to enable us to live out kingdom truths on earth, that we are empowered through the Spirit to speak to violence, to stand and take our place, to be the people that bind up the brokenhearted, that speak good news. God has given that message to us. It has been carried forth. Christ came and lives among us and has given us the message of going forward as his people to do good work in this world. We must be faithful to take our place as the church. As Jan said, if we don't do it, no one else will, because we are the ones God has given that work to. And in this Advent season, as we are singing songs of O Come, Emmanuel, I'm reminded that Emmanuel is with us. Emmanuel means God with us. And God is with us 24/7. God has come. God lives and dwells among us. and gives us every resource that we need to live into the fullness of the kingdom of God on earth today. And as we are willing to stand and take our place, we are empowered to do that which God calls us to do. In little itty bitty ways and in big ways. And all of it together makes a difference and makes the kingdom of God on earth real. Let us be faithful to do that which God calls us to do. To be the people of God. We're just a small microcosm of the people of God scattered around our world. And yet, we can be faithful to do that which God calls us to do today in Seattle, in our place, the task that God has given us to do. Let us be faithful. Let us be aware that God has come and does dwell among us. Emmanuel, God with us. Let us listen as we wait in the presence of God and invite God to speak directly to us, listening in the silence, that God's full voice might be heard and spoken today in our midst.